This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakhar Sachdev and you are tuned into On The Ball, Money Control's sports podcast. Bangladesh cricket team is touring India for a 3-match T20 series and a 2-match test series. The T20 series is done and dusted with India clinching the series 2-1. Next, we move to test series with the first test starting at Indore tomorrow. To talk about the test series and to preview the first test, I have with me Network 18's group sports editor Gaurav Kalra with me. Hi and welcome to the podcast, Gaurav.
It's good to be here, Prakhar.
So, Gaurav, considering that India are at the top of the World Test Championship with 240 points from 5 matches, and the next team on the table is New Zealand with 60 points. So, India are quite comfortably placed when considering the World Test Championship finals that is to be played at Lords in 2 years' time. In such circumstances, do you see Virat Kohli trying out few fringe players like Shubman Gill and Kuldeep Yadav, giving them a chance?
It looks very doubtful to me, Prakhar, that India will play anything but their strongest team in this match as well. I think while there might be some thought about giving some of these fringe players a chance, the reality is even the players who come into the 11, it isn't like a lot of them need too much rest. For instance, Virat Kohli himself has been resting in this T20 series, so he comes in completely fresh. None of the fast bowlers, Ishan Sharma, Shami or Umesh Yadav, played in the T20s, so they are all completely rested and raring to go, one would imagine. Ashwin and Jadeja, they both do not feature in the T20 squad as well. Jadeja wasn't playing in this T20 series. Ashwin doesn't play white ball cricket anymore for India. So all of these players are rested and would be hungry for game time. I just don't see how Virat Kohli will be able to look at any of the fringe players and say, okay, you know, maybe I'll get one of them into the playing 11. I think it will be a very hard task to convince any of these other guys, any of the regular players, to sit out and allow for the fringe players to get a game.
So looks like Shubman Gill and Kuldeep Yadav have to wait for some more time to finally play a test match for India. Moving on, so if we look at the test series that India last played against South Africa, India were clinical in all three departments. Batsmen had runs under their belt, bowlers were amongst wickets, and fielding was, as always, outstanding. Then, what is the challenge for Virat Kohli and co in the upcoming two test matches against Bangladesh? What are they aiming for?
I think, Prakhar, if you look at the great sports teams of the past, and I don't mean just cricket teams, but let's, even if you restrict it to just cricket teams, look at the great Australian team that we saw in that era about 10-15 years ago, or the great West Indies team. One of their enduring qualities is ruthlessness. It doesn't matter which is the opponent that you're coming up against. You have to play your top game at all times. And if you're able to do that, that shows that you are really a team that is separate from the rest of the pack. If you see all great sporting units, that is what defines them. That whoever your opponent is, you come up against them and you play your top game, and if possible, you crush them. So I think India will go into this series thinking that they have to be like the Indian team that its fans have come to expect and see in action. So I think India will not take their foot off the pedal at all. They will be very, very efficient. They will. Each of the players knows that there is an alternative available for them. For instance, if you are Mayank Agarwal, you are thinking, sure, I've been doing well, I've got a double hundred recently, but look at the number of options that are there on the Indian circuit. There's Prithvi Shaw coming back from his ban for doping. There's Priyank Panchal, there's Abhimanyu Iswaran, there's KL Rahul. All of these players were snapping at my heels. Rohit Sharma has had a great start to his career as an opener, but he would not want to have two poor test matches. In the same way, Pujara, Rahane, Vridhiman Saha, who has got his place back in the test team, will not want to have a poor game. So as individuals, they will really be ensuring that they put in their best performance. And if all the individuals come in and play to the best of their potential, which is going to be so much better than, or so at such a higher level than you would imagine Bangladesh can produce, I see no reason for India to step off the gas.
It looks like quite two tough matches for Bangladesh, but Bangladesh are opening their World Test Championship account with the two matches against India and the first test at Spirit Indore. As we have seen, as you just said, India play a near perfect game in test, specifically in home conditions. What do you think then should the Bangladesh strategy be? Should they play for a draw, or what would they be doing to stop India's juggernaut?
Well, I think, Prakhar, you cannot start a test match by wanting to play for a draw. Of course, the conditions are there for you to consider. But I think Bangladesh have to show more resistance to India's bowling than South Africa did. That's one of the aspects of South Africa's play that was a little disappointing. They were just, every time India won the toss, put up a big score. South Africa struggled to counter that with the bat, except in the first test match. So I think Bangladesh have to show guts and gumption, and also a solid defensive play. If they can bring in, if their batsmen can actually just knuckle down and play rather than play aggressive cricket in the conventional sense, which is go for boundaries and try and hit your way out of high pressure bowling. Rather than that, just knuckle down and play very, very strong defensive cricket, blunt India's attack, and make sure that they keep India's bowlers on the park for long periods of time. That will be one way for Bangladesh to at least be competitive in this series. I think that if they just go out there with the idea that they're going to be adventurous in their stroke play and take the attack to India, so to speak, then I don't think they will have much success. Also, I think, Prakhar, they will take some positives, although the formats are so different from the T20 series. They won one of the matches, they played quite well in that match. In the third match as well, Bangladesh had their chances and were in a position from where they could have won the game, except for that Deepak Chahar spell. So there were little pockets in that T20 series which would make them believe that they can compete against India. But I don't think they'll be under any illusion that India are overwhelmingly superior right now.
Okay, yes, surely the team fought well. Bangladesh team fought well in the T20 series. But before the team flew in, Bangladesh team flew into India, they were rocked by the ban of their all-rounder Shakib Al Hasan. The player was suspended by ICC for not reporting cases of bookies on various occasions. As a result, Shakib is not touring India. How big is Shakib's loss for Bangladesh?
Well, it is a big loss, Prakhar. Of course, he is their premier player. He is one of the best all-rounders in the world. He'll bat in the top five for Bangladesh. He's going to be one of the main bowlers. So as soon as you take a player out of that, it's like losing Ben Stokes if you're England. You lose a player who's going to be able to be a member of your bowling attack and be one of your major batsmen. So it's not easy to lose to replace a player of this kind. But then again, in the T20 series, Bangladesh showed that even in Shakib's absence, they could come together. And if you look at their squad, there are some experienced players in there. Obviously, there's Mushfiqur Rahim. I believe he will not be keeping wickets in this series. Also, there is Mahmudullah, who's an experienced player now. There are players in that team who will be expected to step up in Shakib's absence. These kinds of things happen in international cricket when you lose players for long durations, and it is up to you as a team to overcome that absence. India has been playing without Jasprit Bumrah. India played the last series without Virat Kohli. Different reason, of course, but the fact is that the guy wasn't there in the playing 11, and you overcome that absence, and it gives other players an opportunity to come through. So yes, of course, Bangladesh would know that they would have been a lot more competitive had Shakib, as well as Tamim Iqbal, who's also missing, both of these guys been available, but they are not, and they've just got to get on with it.
Do you concur with the fact that Shakib is one of the great modern day all-rounders? He had a great World Cup back in May-June.
Of course, there's no doubt that he's one of the great all-rounders in the modern game, but perhaps not so much in Test cricket as he is in the limited overs formats. His record in Test cricket isn't quite as impressive as it is in the limited overs formats. Also, he's not a attacking Test match bowler in the sense that he will pick up five wickets every innings that he will bowl for Bangladesh. But I think as a batsman, they will definitely miss him because of his experience and the ability to bat time over long periods of time. Also, remember, Bangladesh of late have had some struggles in Test cricket. They lost to Afghanistan at home in a Test match, and that was a huge moment for Afghanistan cricket. But it shows that Bangladesh have some real fragility in their lineup. So I think Shakib's absence just enhances that problem.
Okay, so one of the takeaways from Virat Kohli's press conference post India's Test series win against South Africa was that he emphasized on India playing at five prominent Test centers. Even new BCCI president Sourav Ganguly also agrees with the fact that yes, there should be some particular grounds across India where Test matches should be hosted. Now, the next Test match India play against Bangladesh is at Indore, which is not the so-called conventional Test center. Do you agree with Virat Kohli and Sourav Ganguly's idea, and what is the harm in playing in such kind of centers like Ranchi or Indore?
Well, I think Virat Kohli was making that point because India played these Test matches against South Africa in not so conventional centers, and the crowds were disappointing in several of those places, in Ranchi, in Vizag. I think the crowd was the major reason why Virat Kohli was making that point, because it means that scheduling, that you're not able to attract a large enough audience. In fact, even the Jharkhand administrators were making the point that they will consider whether they should bother hosting a test match in the future, or tell the BCCI they don't want to host test matches because they just don't attract large enough crowds. Indore, actually, Prakhar, is a slightly different scenario. Indore, when it hosted a test match last, I think it was against New Zealand, attracted a huge crowd. And I believe that even in this test match, the crowd will be quite big in Indore, because there is a cricket watching public there that is invested in the game. They want to come and see. And I think India, this test match should attract a larger crowd than other centres. But I think on the overall premise of the argument about five test centres or identifying permanent test centres in India, I am leaning towards in favour of that argument, because I think that if you make a schedule such as the one that exists in countries like Australia, even in England, where test centres are identified, then you start a season in Brisbane and you then move on to play in Perth. Then you go on to Melbourne and Sydney, Christmas and New Year, and then you finish up in Adelaide. That seems like a itinerary in which every cricket fan knows exactly what time of year he's got to take time out to go and watch Test cricket. And I think in India, we are not doing that right now in this quest to spread the game. And as a result, we're not attracting crowds at some of these smaller centres. So I think it's, while there are pulls and pressures to host matches at various associations, I still think it's an idea worth considering. Maybe two or three seasons, just look at a schedule which is going to the same test match venue every time at the same time of the year, and see what kind of reception you get.
Visitors from abroad can also plan their visits to the country accordingly.
Correct.
And move on. Finally, do India start favourite in the first test match?
Oh, not just favourites, Prakhar. I think India starts overwhelming favourites. I would be very surprised if Bangladesh are even very competitive in the series. You look at every aspect of India's cricket. Forget about who they are playing against, but just the quality of the fast bowling currently. Shami and Umesh Yadav in the way that they are bowling. Ashwin, how well he is bowling as a spinner. And Jadeja. So once you've got four or five bowlers who are on top of their game, it becomes very difficult for the opposition attack. Also, batsmen in form. The fact that so many of these guys got hundreds in the last series against South Africa, they're all in very good form. I think India will go in with a structure of five frontline batsmen and five frontline bowlers,
okay,
which means that they will play probably Ravindra Jadeja at 6, Saha at 7, Ashwin at 8. You know, that's a very, very strong batting lineup as well, with the top five all having got runs in the recent series. I just don't see a weakness for Bangladesh to exploit. I think their best chance is to try and knuckle down, be hard-nosed, try and bat sessions, and you know, keep India out on the park. But ultimately, I predict a 2-0 win for India, 120 points in the
bag
and one foot in the door of the final of
at
the
Lord's,
World Test Championship.
At Lord's, okay. But I would sincerely want, as a cricket fan, I would want Bangladesh to create an upset out there and at least give some fight and make India think about the second test at...
What you want and what you get are two different things,
but let's hope for a competitive series.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball. Thank you, Gaurav, for joining us on the podcast. If you have any queries, please do send us an email on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, the email ID is mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for tuning in.